This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Thursday, January 14th, 2021 edition of Invest Talk. And on today's program and podcast, I am going to operate with the same mission that we always operate with, which is independent thinking and shared success. That is your assurance that our market reporting, our process for explaining things, our educational segments, and our equity commentary are all presented without bias, right? We just give the facts, give our educated opinion, and that's what we are here to do. Bring our perspective, through our experience, through the data that we have, that I have right in front of me, directly to you, in order for you to make better money decisions. Now, I'm Justin Klein, and we will help make sure that listening to Invest Talk is an excellent use of your time. We also offer you the opportunity to contact us with your finance and investment questions. You shape the show to your liking, however you would like. But you have to call and interact with us during our live program, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or leave a question anytime on our Invest Talk voice bank. That number never changes. 888-99-CHART. So let's get right to our first caller question right now.
Hi, my name is Katie. I'm new to investing. I've been doing it since August. And my question is, when do I know the right time to take profits? I purchased Jumia, JMIA at 13, Grow Generation at 18, Plug at 15, and Trinseo, TSE at 22. I'm pretty excited about all the gains, but I do understand that right now they're unrealized. So I would appreciate any advice on guidelines or principles I should follow as far as when to sell, because I do want to keep, you know, all the gains, and I want the potential gains, and I also don't want to lose what I have. So thank you.
Okay. Great question. That is something that's very difficult to figure out, especially for a new investor, right? You're up on it. Things feel good, but you don't want to lose those gains. But you also don't want to miss out on continued gains. That's the emotions, right? The fear and the greed, and playing with that. So when people are investors are struggling with a process, I go back to trying to weed out the emotions, right? And create some rules, okay? So first you have to ask yourself, are you in it for the long game? Or is this just a trade? Okay? Now, typically when you're worried about the losses, it's just a trade, right? Because you don't understand the underlying value of the company, the operating segment of the market that they run their business through. You don't understand whether this is a good value long term, right? So all those things you need to wrap your head around. And for a new investor, that's very, very difficult. Valuing companies is very hard. Understanding sectors is very hard. Okay. So I'll say, if you can get to that point, which you should be working towards, that definitely plays into your thinking. Now, as a new investor, I always try to keep it simple for people. And the simple thing for me are charts. Pretty simple, right? Talking about price and time, right? Price on the y-axis, time on the x-axis, and you're charting that over that time period. Now, when stocks are in uptrend, which you talked about, many of them that you own are, they tend to find support at certain levels. For example, I'm just looking at TSE, Trinseo, which I think is one you mentioned. That one has been marching up. And ever since October, it's pretty much found support at its 50-day moving average. Even back in the summer, when it was kind of chopping more, it found support around the 100-day moving average. I'm sorry, the recent one is actually the 20-day. It's been marching up with 20 days as the support. Back in the summer, it was the 100-day. So because things are stretched, because a lot of these names are overvalued, I would look at this recent period, right, where a lot of these names have gone parabolic. And when they close below whatever moving average they have, that's, they've been finding support out recently, that's when I would be getting out. Right? And a lot of these are the 20-day moving average. Say that. So that's what I would use. So you're still riding that up. If it gyrates in a day, a couple days, no big deal. But if it breaks that 20-day moving average, that's a time, that's a warning shot for you to say, hey, okay, the momentum is waning. The reversal is potentially upon us. And either reduce or eliminate your position. So that's the start. But while you're waiting for that, start to assess the different names. Is this a company that is going to make money, right? Their growth, the story behind it, is it going to result in actual earnings down the line? And do you want to be a long-term holder? Well, my answer to our callers was a demonstration of that today in this program and podcast. I will do my best to provide unbiased answers to all your finance and investment questions. I know you want strategies to help deal with market volatility and the uncertainty, like that caller. And I'm here. I'm ready to take your calls now at 888-99-CHART. Let's check in on the market today. We had a modest down day. The S&P was down about 14 points, a little less than 0.5%. And what was interesting is that we were up for most of the day, and we had a sell-off in the last hour, hour and a half or so of trading. Why is that? Well, I think the market's getting tired here. We had another surge in the 10-year, right? We had some economic indicators come out, such as CPI numbers, and they were met or exceeded expectations, right? Import prices month over month were up almost 1%, 0.89% for the month of December. And that was the highest level since July. Okay, so that weaker dollar is certainly hurting our export purchasing power. And so that's one issue. Another is the initial jobless claims came in at nearly 1 million. Another uptick from last week and reached the highest level since, let's look back. Going back to, looking all the way back here, since September, end of September. So more tough economic news, right? Rising prices and weaker jobs market, which that's expected. I know personally, I know about a half dozen friends of friends. Luckily, I've been in interacting with them recently, but they got COVID here in Southern California. So I'm seeing definitely a surge, and it's the season, right? It's the flu season. We all kind of knew this is a time where it spreads faster. So more shutdowns, and that's causing economic strife. So that was the market today. I still think this quarter is going to be much more volatile than last one. Now we're heading into a break, and I welcome your calls right now at 888-99-CHART.
The markets react to uncertainty. Are you prepared? Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Your financial future depends on the answers to those questions. Justin Klein is here now and ready to talk with you. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, my focus point today concerns the story in the first full week of 2021. Mortgage applications jumped 17% on a 20% spike in refinance activity. Pretty interesting, especially since interest rates were a little bit higher from the previous week. But we're going to unpack that story as well as a few others. One, President-elect Biden has announced his economic stimulus package, about $1.9 trillion, and we're going to unpack some of the details, what that might mean, what might actually be passed. Remember, these are just proposals. What actually comes down the pipe with legislation could be and likely will be very, very different. I know everyone says that Democrats now hold the House and the Senate, which is certainly going to help, but that doesn't make the process of coming to an agreement easy. It's still going to be messy and probably take longer than most expected and be smaller than most expect as well. So we're going to touch on that. Next, banks have been doing well, but let's unpack earnings for the last quarter and the full year 2020 and look forward. Is it as rosy as the share price gains have been? We're going to unpack that a little bit. And then lastly, options trading. Everyone is trading options these days, even beginner investors. And we're going to unpack that story and figure out, is that a warning sign? Let's go to a live call now. We're going to speak with Adam in Los Angeles. He's looking at POSH. Is this Poshmark? Ooh.
Yes. So it came out today, and I tried to buy it early in the morning before it started trading. And I put in an order for, I think it was 45 limit, and it never went through. It just kind of skipped from the initial offering of whatever it was, 40, and it jumped all the way to 90, 100, but my order never got processed. Is there any way to get in there and buy an IPO before it jumps so high?
Well, you can buy it in the IPO process. Now, that's something you have to talk to your broker about and see if you're able to do that. Most of the time, hot IPOs are given to big institutional investors, people with a ton of money, or big mutual funds, big hedge funds, big funds, right? Because if you're a investment bank and you're taking a company public, are you going to mess with a bunch of small accounts that are going to put $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 each in, or are you going to go to a big mutual fund where they're going to allocate millions of dollars towards that IPO and they're going to hold the shares for an extended period of time? They're not just trying to make a quick buck. You're going to go for the latter, right? So it's very difficult for an individual investor to get in on that particular on particular IPOs. So if you actually can get in on it, that's kind of actually a red flag. Does that make sense?
I see. So, yeah, they're not going to take a small investor. You'd have to go through a mutual fund or a brokerage.
Yeah, you have to go through a brokerage, and you know, that's why a lot of wealthy people, they work with Goldman or Merrill, and they can sometimes get on these IPOs. Now, IPOs longer term tend to be poor investment choices upon, you know, if you're holding it from IPO date onward. On average, now certainly there are ones that do very, very well near term as well as long term. But Poshmark in general, this is a company that lost money last in 2019. They made money the last couple of months because of moving towards online, but their value is $7.5 billion, and they only did $68 million in sales last quarter. I'll tell you this: we own a similar name. It's public. For our clients, we owned it for a few months or so, and it does twice as much sales, it's actually three times as much sales, and valued at a third the price as this one. Say that. So I would not be buying Poshmark, especially at the valuations right now of $101 a share, $7.5 billion market cap, much too expensive, especially for a name that just started to make money. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein, and we are now into 2021 solidly, and your job of building a financial future that you can be proud of must never backslide. You always have to be continually working at it, whether that's saving correctly or investing correctly. Your goal of financial freedom will require sound information and effective strategies. So we should talk about whatever is on your mind. Your participation is vital. So give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
The new year is bringing lots of changes. Are you prepared? Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? You don't have to guess. You can get unbiased guidance from InvestTalk hosts Steve Peasley and Justin Klein. The phone lines are open now, and your questions are welcome. 888-99-CHART.
Now, my focus point today concerns this story. In the first full week of 2021, mortgage applications jumped 17% on a 20% spike in refinancing activity. So purchase activity was only up about 8%. So on average was right around that 17% level. Now, year over year, mortgage apps are up 10% and refis themselves were up 93% year over year. Right, so that 20% was from the previous week. Now, it was odd because mortgage rates were up a couple basis points on the 30-year from 2.86 to 2.88. And the refinancing or application surged to the highest level since March of 2020. So in the new year, people are getting a little bit more excited, more interested in the housing market. Maybe they're reassessing things. Now we're past the holidays. It's hard to know exactly, especially with mortgage rates not really changing too much. But I expect that to moderate. Expect that to moderate this year with the 10-year rising. But people still want to move out of big cities, get more bang for the buck, get more room. In order to work, in order to live. And the biggest factor, however, I think, in the housing market this year will be the moratorium on foreclosures. And that's something we're going to talk about next. Coming up is Biden's proposal, not just about spending, it's about certain moratoriums, like on mortgages and rent. And that is expected or proposed to go through the month of September. Now, when that comes off, it's going to be a big test. Huge test for the market. And I think that's when you're definitely going to get a lot more affordability, where inventory comes back on, the market settles out, you get more of a balance of supply and demand. And so until we get a resolution of when people are going to have to pay their mortgages again, then I think that's going to be a big factor, not only in the economy, like I said before, because all those people have that money to go out and spend, but also especially in the housing market. Now, if you enjoyed the InvestTalk podcast, great. We thank you for your support. May I suggest that you tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. Of course, we encourage your questions anytime, day or night, at 888-99-CHART. So let's go to a caller question that came in earlier from Chicago.
Hey, gents. How's it going? My name is Raphael from Chicago. Had a question on Lindbach Holdings, LMB. I went in there when it was $3.76 a share, and it's gone up over 260%. So I'm just trying to see if I should scale back or if you think I should just hold tight to my shares. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, looking at Lindbach Holdings. They provide construction and maintenance services for heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and plumbing. So they didn't do so well during the pandemic, but they've come back fairly strong, especially in the second and third quarter. Earnings were up 318% in the second quarter, 179% in the third, and obviously we're waiting on the fourth quarter earnings as well. But expected this year is supposed to make 86 cents a share, $14 stock. Let me look at the long-term profitability, because this is a name that has been on a tear. Certainly there was overly pessimistic views of their business during the pandemic, down a 52-week low of $2.37, and right now it's sitting right around that 52-week high, around 14. Pretty decent reversal on the market, or in this name today, closed near the lows, decent volume. It's not enough to tell me this is imminently going to reverse, but I don't like the MACD. I don't like some of the indicators I'm seeing from that perspective. And if you look longer term, let me pull up the profitability here. If you look longer term, they haven't had a lot of profitable years. The return on equity, actually every year except for the last year, has been negative. So I see this as an opportunity to sell, and I would get out of it just because I don't think that these profit metrics are going to be sustained, and it does have a history of consistent profits. So I would take your profits off the table. Now, it's a new year. I think it's worth taking a minute to make you aware of some of the benefits of working with Steve Peasley and myself, things that we do for clients through our company, KPP Financial. We're based in Irvine, California, which, if you don't know, is in Orange County, California, a little bit south of LA. Now, let me take a minute to remind you that here on InvestTalk and at our company, KPP Financial, we operate the philosophy of independent thinking and shared success, which means that we provide unbiased guidance and we practice parallel investing, which means we invest right alongside our clients. So I encourage you to take advantage of our free offer of a portfolio review assessment via telephone, Skype, or Jive meetings. You can send a message through investtalk.com or call our KPP Financial offices in Irvine, California at 800-557-5461. No obligation. Just give us a call. We want to help. Now, in the next InvestTalk, this story. One market expert is projecting the five most dangerous bubble stocks likely to fail. Steve's going to go over those, and maybe he'll parallel some of the ones from the first tech bubble, Tech Bubble 1.0. I say we're in the Tech Bubble 2.0. Changing the world is difficult, and even the most well-run companies attempting to do so are in for quite a challenge. So Steve's going to unpack that story tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your questions live at 888-99-CHART.
Of all the finance and investing podcasts and all the downloads and all the world, you've discovered InvestTalk.
Hey guys, I just started checking out your podcast and I've been really enjoying the content.
I was just wondering if you could explain what a spinoff is.
I'm interested in two IPOs.
And since InvestTalk hosts Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are committed to answering your questions with their unique blend of expert insight and unbiased guidance, you've got to ask yourself one question. Why haven't you called InvestTalk?
Hey, Steve and Justin, this is Josh calling from New York, first-time caller.
You know you listen, you know you should call, you know you want to call.
Would you consider equities to be a hedge against inflation?
You'll get a reliable answer and the same positive feeling that tens of thousands of InvestTalk callers have already experienced.
Thank you, and I appreciate what you guys do.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. You are listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. Love the show. Just wanted to ask a quick question. Now that a lot of brokers like Robinhood, Schwab, etc. are offering fractional shares, it's given me the opportunity to invest in companies that I wouldn't otherwise be able to afford. What I've found, though, is I'm buying a ton of different companies kind of just because I can. So right now on my portfolio, you know, I own a small amount of equity in about, I don't know, maybe 75 to 100 different companies that I've had on my watch list for years. I feel a little overwhelmed by that. I feel like I'm not giving my stock choices the attention maybe they deserve. So I just wanted to ask you guys, how many stocks would you recommend a retail investor like myself keep tabs on? I mean, obviously leverage is important, so having a small balance in each stock may not be the best approach. At the same time, I do want to be diversified. So what are your thoughts on that with fractional shares? How many companies would you recommend somebody invest in? Thanks. Love the show. Appreciate you guys so much.
Great question. And I think you, in a way, you answered your own question that it is too hard to track that many names, especially as an individual without many many tools. The statistics say that you only need about 25 different names to be properly diversified. And now, not to say properly, but to be diversified in general. Now, you could, if you, that's all in one sector, then you're not diversified, et cetera. You don't want to be more than 20, 25% in one sector. But I definitely not have 100 names. And you're a perfect example of, I think, one of the reasons why the market's being driven to such astronomical heights is that people could just buy a little bit of shares that are just way, way overpriced, Tesla, for example. So I would definitely use this time to trim the names, do research, and narrow it down to about 25 to 35 different names that you can actually keep track of, that you can do research on, that you can keep tabs on a weekly, monthly basis. Okay, so definitely reduce your number of equities in your portfolio. And that goes for everybody out there. We see this all the time. We get accounts that come over with sometimes hundreds of different positions. You know, they hear from a friend, oh, you should invest in this company. They throw a couple hundred dollars at it, right? They read an article online. They throw a few thousand dollars in this name. They saw this on TV, and that sounded interesting. So they throw $500 in that. And then you just get this hodgepodge of positions that you don't really understand what you own. You don't have a unified strategy of, oh, I need to be overweight this sector or this area of the market because of X, Y, and Z. It's just a hodgepodge with zero plan. So make sure you don't become a victim like that. Now let's touch quickly on the new President-elect Biden's proposal about $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan. And this is going to pump money into people's pockets as well as into testing and vaccine distribution. He's going to urge Congress to give people about $1,400 checks per person, $400 per week in unemployment insurance supplements through September of this year, and expand paid leave and increase child tax credit. Now, aid for households, meaning money or tax breaks directly to individuals, is going to make up about half of the plan. And the rest is going to go towards vaccine distribution and state and local governments. So this is being floated, member. Being floated. It's saying this is what I'd like to have passed. Doesn't mean it's going to get passed. And there are some contentious details of this plan as well. For example, $15 minimum wage, which will likely get some Republican pushback, even though it's very popular. It's about 70% of the country approves of a $15 minimum wage. So I could see that getting through. But it's not clear which pieces are actually going to become law. Now, he expects to release a second proposal focused on an infrastructure bill and creation of jobs probably in the back half of the year. And that infrastructure bill will probably be focused on green energy. Now, some of these stimulus checks are going to go to those that weren't eligible for, like adult dependents, right? Those that maybe are in college that were excluded from previous bills. The child tax credit will go from $2,000 to $3,000. And like I said before, he proposes to extend the eviction and foreclosure moratorium to the end of September. That's pretty big. Now, he hasn't talked to, no, there's nothing in here about student loan forgiveness, right? Which he said before, you supported about $10,000 per person of forgiveness. He's just saying, well, we'll continue with forbearance until the end of September as well. And this is something that certainly is going to drive economic activity. You know that, right? Anytime the government goes in there and spends money, if you understand the calculation for GDP, government spending is one of them. And what's interesting about this too is he's saying we're not going to be worrying about the deficit. Why? Like I said before, Fed is the Treasury and the Fed are now married. And this is another example. This is the plan. Print money, go spend it. It's very different than we've had over the past decade. Yes, we printed money, but the money was going onto bank balance sheets to repair bank balance sheets after the financial crisis. Now it's going towards infrastructure spending, repairing personal balance sheets, corporate balance sheets. And guess what? When you're a corporation, you have lower debt. You're an individual, you have lower debt. You have more money in your pocket. What are you going to go do? You're going to go spend. And this proposal is exactly what everyone should be expecting, has been expecting. Bigger question is how much will actually get passed. Okay, so this is why you should expect the 2020s to be very different than the 2010s, especially in the type of companies that will do well in the investment realm. Now let's keep things flow, keep the flow moving, and go straight back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Dan from New York. I have a question pertaining to Etsy, E-T-S-Y in company. Thinking about taking a position in it, I'm not sure if it's a fair value, but I do like its business model. Its P.E. is off the charts at 86.21, and it's currently at $195.45, a 52-week high. What do you think a target price to get in would be if it is a good idea to get in at all? Thank you very much. I look forward to hearing the answer on the podcast.
All right, this is Etsy, and this is an online and offline platform that enables people to buy and sell handmade goods via Etsy.com. And certainly their business has boomed in the world of COVID with more people at home, being able to make handmade, homemade goods and put it online, and more people shopping online. So, but the valuation here is just astronomical, $26 billion market cap. And even if you include the big boost in revenue from the second and third quarter, you're talking roughly $1.2, $1.3 billion in sales. So easily 20 times revenue. We've talked before, when you get to 20 times revenue, that is a big red flag from a valuation standpoint. Now, enterprise value to EBITDA 76. So while EBITDA has surged to $336 million trailing 12 months, and their free cash flow trailing 12 months is about $500 million. I agree with you on the fact that I like the business, but I hate the price. My valuation on this name would be much, much closer to $70 a share. 70, yep, 70. It's at now 211. So, you know, I'll pay 8-9 times sales for something like this, but not this level. And I expect there to be a retrenchment once things reopen, which we know that's going to happen. Once we roll out the vaccine well enough, that's very, very likely. So that's my entry point. 70, you can talk to me, but not at 210. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I'm Justin Klein. You're listening to InvestTalk. And you are not alone. In fact, you have people from all around the world who are listening just like you are. And the greatest number of our listeners obviously are here in the U.S., but we have listeners and downloads from Canada, the U.K., Australia, Germany, China, Japan, Switzerland, etc. So Steve and I thank you for downloading InvestTalk and for telling your friends and family members about our free investing and financial podcast. Now, of course, we welcome your calls at our KPP Financial offices in Irvine, California. We would love to help you off air as well. But if you want help on air, our phone lines are open at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is always made better when our listeners contribute their questions.
Hi, guys. Lee from North Carolina here. I had a question about Stitch Fix, ticker SFIX.
So tell your friends and family members they can interact in real time with Steve Peasley and Justin Klein during the InvestTalk live stream program between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Hey, Justin, Steve. This is Phil in Washington, D.C. Love you guys. I've learned so much.
Or they can leave their questions anytime, 24-7, in the InvestTalk voice bank.
Look forward to hearing your answers on the podcast. Thanks.
Remember, for live or recorded questions, the number never changes. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. I've been listening for a while now. And first and foremost, I want to say what's unique about you guys being money managers is that what you guys do day to day, you really can't put monetary value on that. And I thank you for that. I wanted to ask about a stock, AVGR. It's purely a speculation play. I know you guys don't like stocks that don't make money. I'm pretty young. If I lose out, I think it'd be okay. Like I said, just curious what you guys' honest opinion is. Thank you again, and happy holidays.
All right. Looking at Avinger. Avinger, sounds like. Trades at $1 a share which is up from its 52-week low of, what, 23 cents? Now it's at $1.11 to close today. What do they do? It's a medical device company engaged in designing, manufacturing, and selling image-guided catheter-based systems that are used by physicians to treat patients with peripheral artery disease, PAD. Okay. I don't know much about this company. $92 million market cap. So very small. I wouldn't say, I guess I could say tiny, even after this run. Longer term, it IPO'd back in 2015 and split adjusted. It was at $4,000 a share. Always lost money, continues to lose money. And this is a name that looks like it is just a perpetual share issuer. And that's really the problem here. 2018, they had 1 million shares outstanding. Now they have 31 million shares outstanding. So sounds like a story stock. They're just there to get more money into the business, probably pay their CEO big salary, as well as their executive team, etc. This is just a game here for them. They're probably going to use this to sell even more shares out in the marketplace. So nothing about their looks solid, negative cash flow, negative earnings. I would stay away from it. Now, technically, it looks okay, but this will reverse 50% like that. So be careful with it. Any next surge, which I think, based on the chart, could happen over the next couple of days, I would be taking my profits. The clock, I think we have enough time to squeeze in another caller question before the break at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, how's it going, guys? I'm a big fan of the show. I found out about this company called Ocugen. OCGN. They're a pharmaceutical-based company in India, and they produce a vaccine called Covaxin, and they just finished phase one and phase two of trials. I want to see what you guys think about it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Interesting. OCGN. Haven't heard of it. Another very, very small medical company. $353 million market cap. This is also a name that has never made money. This is pretty interesting. It looks very similar to this last one. Let's look at the shares outstanding. I always like to see that. Are they issuing? Yes, exact same thing. Hit a million. Wow, that's pretty wild. We have back-to-back calls like this. 2018, they had 1 million shares outstanding. No, this is not deja vu. This year, it's even worse than that last one. They have 79 million shares outstanding. This just shows you how crazy this market is. This is a name whose 52-week low price is 17 cents a share. Now it's at 218. This is a perpetual share issuer. They do reverse splits. They are not a company that makes money. They lose money. Once again, pass. Crazy that people are interested in these names that are so low in quality, right? It isn't about, these aren't names that, oh, they make a little bit of money or they're growing fast and they might be losing money, but they're projected to earn money in the future. No, they have for a decade plus stolen basically shareholder capital, perpetually issuing shares and running a business that loses money. So, no. Pass. Run. This is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here, to help you achieve your own particular version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
Have you heard about Riskalyze? It's a brief question and answer form that you fill out online. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein will also get a copy of your responses. They can use the Riskalyze results to help you formulate a strategy that fits your investing risk tolerance. Learn more anytime and take the Riskalyze quiz at investtalk.com.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Rick from Florida. Thank you for a great show. I have a question on, and your opinion on
stock IDXX, IDEX Laboratories. Just wanted to see what you think. I'm thinking about buying it. And also related to that, I've heard in so many TV shows or website about financial stocks, about it doesn't matter where the stock has been, what the cost has been. It's more like, where is it going? So not to worry about what the price you're buying it at. Of course, I don't think that's correct, but I'd like your opinion on that too.
Well, I'll start with the latter. I'm not sure. I think I would be interested to see where you got that. It would not be shocking in this environment where nobody cares about valuation. You know, we are value investors, and, you know, there are opportunities. They're just not in the exciting names, and this one you called about is one of those. This is IDEX Laboratories, and they provide, develop, manufacture, and distribute diagnostic products, equipment, and services for pet and livestock industry. And this is certainly a good business. Can't argue with that. They've been growing their earnings. 2013, they made $1.73. This year, they're supposed to make $6.84 a share. So consistent growth, high single digits, low double digits in sales almost each and every quarter. So it's a growth name. But its business is doing well, and its stock is doing far, far better. And now it's trading at an enterprise value to EBITDA of 60, which is where it was, shocking, in 1998, during the last dot-com bubble, right? And its enterprise value to revenue is 16, very expensive. Trading right now at a valuation of $41 billion, $488 a share. Our fair value is around $175 a share. $175 a share, which is 2/3 lower than it is today. So good business, but based on its earnings, its valuation is just way too high. And actually, it looks like it's starting to reverse right now. So I would absolutely pass, and don't listen to people and say valuations don't matter, because guess what? They do. History disagrees. I know it may not feel that way now, but I have a strong feeling this year you are going to wake up to an environment that is no longer very friendly to the exciting names and all these new investors that are buying options and not worrying about valuation. History will repeat itself, and we'll be reminded that, yes, earnings matter, cash flows matter, valuations matter. Now, with that end, let's pivot last to bank earnings. And fourth quarter earnings season starts actually this week, tomorrow. JP Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo report. Next week, you'll have Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley. And the fourth quarter is likely to be messy, actually worse than the third quarter, because most banks beat expectations in the third quarter of last year, especially with low expectations post-COVID. You know, there was a lot of reserves set aside for potential defaults, and a lot of those defaults didn't come to fruition. But bank earnings are expected to fall 8% in the fourth quarter compared to the same time last year. Sorry, 2019, right? Fourth quarter to fourth quarter comparison. And the reason the business didn't deteriorate too much was because defaults, once again, because of stimulus, were a lot lower than expected. You had a lot of banks going out there and raising capital for corporations, for individuals, a lot of IPOs in the market, right? So cashing in on that market. And now the Fed is allowing these banks to buy back their own shares. So that's pretty interesting as well. But this, it's not about last year. It's about this year, right? What will this year look like? Mortgage originations are likely to be down expected this year. And it's unlikely that you'll have, shocking to say, as good of a year this year. So I think this recent rally may be a little ahead of itself in the bank market. I'm Justin Klein. This is another Invest Talk program. Steve Peasley and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. They can listen on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. and always listen live on InvestTalk.com, 4 to 5 Pacific Time. And we invite you to call with your question anytime on our InvestTalk voice bank at 888-99-CHART. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.